We are the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. This is Business Rockstars. Joining me right now, we've got Jay Winkle-Pleck. He is the president of American Made Supply Co. Thanks for stopping by and joining us.
All right, thanks for having me.
Yeah, for those who aren't familiar with your company, please explain, what is American Made Supply Co.?
So American Made Supply Co. is a premium men and women's basics company that's 100% made in America. We sell direct to consumer. We also do wholesale and online distribution internationally.
And obviously in the apparel industry, the competition is fierce, but you figured it out, how to navigate it, how to rise to the top. So I'm so excited to talk to you today about how you did it. So let's start at the beginning. First of all, how did you come up with the idea?
So we came up with the idea back in 2012, but it really kind of formulated in 2013. My business partner, Jeff and Jordan, and I currently do a lot of apparel manufacturing through our other business. And we happened to kind of see a gap in the marketplace. And originally, we wanted to just do private label wholesale for a lot of the companies we work with, using more of a cut and sew model that was made in America. And we thought that there was some demand for that. After we started doing our research and started developing a couple styles, we happened to get in bed with an online-based business that was running campaigns for celebrities. And we had an opportunity to kind of pitch them on the idea of, hey, why don't you guys try using a blank that is a lot more premium and a little bit nicer for some of the celebrity clientele that you have, that's a little bit more unique to your brand versus something right off the shelf that anyone could go and buy. And they happened to really like the idea. And so we started off with our men and women's classic tee. And we sold that to them with their campaigns, ended up selling a couple hundred thousand shirts over a course of a year, and really started figuring out kind of how we wanted our fit to be from surveying different people and kind of asking them, hey, how did you like the fit? From small up to 2XL, and really took that feedback in, made some adjustments.
And we're talking like thousands of people that you surveyed,
yeah, absolutely. Right? I mean, we sold a couple hundred thousand shirts, so we surveyed thousands and thousands of people through literally size small to 2XL.
And it was through this other company that you are partnering with that you all of a sudden had this target audience available to you to ask these important questions.
Absolutely. And so that was kind of a really big stepping stone for us, because we traditionally did mostly contract work and apparel manufacturing. We never really wanted to create a blank and sell direct to consumer or anything else like that, which we currently are doing now. It was really more about fielding in the clientele that we currently existing have and doing a lot of projects for them. And so when we realized that we had something pretty tangible, we said, let's kind of open this up a little bit more, create some more styles, keep the fit consistent. So if you liked our classic tee, you'd like our V-neck, you'd like our baseball tee, which a lot of companies don't do. And I think that's a big differentiator with us, because a lot of people, and myself included, I find a shirt I really love and I go, okay, well, I bet you I'll like their sweatshirt, or I'll like their V-neck, or I'll like their tank top, and it fits differently. So that was something we really wanted to do and keep consistent. So if you fell in love with our classic tee, you could feel confident that you could buy our tank top and it would fit you similar.
Yeah, you did so many things right. First of all, you tested your product first. That's huge before growing too quickly. You started narrow and you knocked it out of the park with a t-shirt, and then you grew from there. You really, really paid attention to your audience. That is so important for whatever industry you're in. Pay attention to your audience. If you can, if you have thousands of people you can survey, please survey them. That's a huge thing too. And then you found a really great market fit. Can you speak to that a little more?
Yeah, so I think right now there's an interesting opportunity, because some of the other larger companies, such as American Apparel, they've kind of had their successes and they really kind of paved the way for us. They've allowed basics to be kind of this cool thing that it maybe not wasn't so much of that years ago, right? So I think they did a really good job of making it kind of look cool. And then it kind of paved the way for companies like myself and a handful of others. But I think the main thing that's a big differentiator for us is that we don't really have a whole lot of pressure to grow quickly because of our previous business that we have. So we kind of had this great opportunity to really take our time, focus on the branding, build this great infrastructure out before we really tried to scale. And I think we're still kind of in that infancy stages too, because we really launched in the beginning of 2016, officially online. And I think that's something that's really different about us versus everyone else. We don't have any investors currently. We're kind of financing it ourselves, but we also have so much experience through manufacturing products, to sourcing fabrics, to even fulfillment, to where if we happen to get large orders, we could fulfill those with no problem. And I think that's something that kind of makes us kind of special, because we can really concentrate in those areas versus rushing and making bad decisions or not being able to learn from some of those bad decisions quick enough. And that really helps us.
Kinda. Yeah, there's a lot of power in not having the pressure to have your business make a lot of money right away, because like you said, you can spend more time on that crucial phase of developing the brand and the story, because it doesn't matter how great of a product you have. If you don't have a great brand and a great story, the customers just aren't going to show up. So you get to do that and be really authentic about it.
And to speak on that, vice versa too, right? So if you have a great brand,
but not a good product,
people come in, but then they don't come back. So part of this business is also retention, right?
Right.
So that's a big thing that I think a lot of people don't really pay attention to when they're growing so fast, is quality control and those types of things, to where you're so reliant on marketing dollars to kind of fuel the business that you spend quite a bit to get that first customer. But really the trick to this business isn't so much getting the first customer in the door or the first 1,000 customers in the door. It's about those first 1,000 customers coming back.
Yeah.
Second, third, fourth try. So that's really important that
for
I
sure.
think a lot of people don't necessarily take their eye off the ball. I think it's just something that they can't fully focus on 100% at times, because like I said, like they have a lot of pressure to grow fast. And just even overhead, we have such a great opportunity between our partnerships that we've made over the years that we don't have a whole lot of overhead like a lot of companies starting out. If we spend $250,000 starting this company, a lot of companies would spend closer to $1 million.
So the other thing I'm hearing you say is that quality has really become a part of your brand. You were telling me off camera the entire process from start to finish of how you make your apparel. Can you share it with our audience so they know just how quality your product is?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, quality always lasts, right? So if you have a really great quality product, you're usually going to make it as long as you do some of the other things correctly. For us, it kind of started with where do we get our fabric from? How is it made? How is it kind of treated? And we started off sourcing our yarns in the Carolinas, because it was really important for us to kind of, we're American made supply co. It needs
it's
to be made here.
Live up to your name.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people, they have this whole made in America thing, but it's not always the case. A lot of the times people use imported yarns, which isn't really a bad thing. And then it's constructed here. So it's kind of made here, but kind of not. And I think there's a big misconception sometimes. And a lot of that has to do with price. Certain people aren't willing to pay more for those things, whether it's not being able to work the margins out, or the retailers aren't willing to buy at certain prices. So that's kind of one of the reasons why we wanted to stay online too, is that we understand that our costs going into it are going to be a little bit more, but we wanted to kind of pass that savings through to the end user. So instead of saying, okay, well, our costs are higher, so we should charge more, it's kind of like our costs are higher. If we start online first, then we still have some margin to play with.
Yeah, again, keeping that overhead lower in other places, like being online.
Absolutely, and then we don't have to sacrifice on quality or other little details such as like woven labels, subtle things that people kind of appreciate but don't always get. And so kind of going back to how we started in the development of a product, we get our fabric or our yarn from the Carolinas. Then it comes to LA where it's milled, which then turns into fabric, and then it gets dyed, and then we cut, sew, and then we launder it one more time and enzyme wash. So everything we make is pre-shrunk. Nice. And then after the fact, it's hand pressed, folded, labeled, and then goes back to our warehouse to get inventoried.
Very detailed. I love it. Well, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we've got lots more to talk about. We are the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive Little Blue Pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. Right now, get your first month's supply for free. All you pay is just $5 for your medical consultation when you go to forhims.com/doctor. After that, it's just $30 for a month's supply. Sure beats paying big bucks for just one blue pill, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need an awkward in-person doctor's appointment to get the prescription. Hims has doctors online who can prescribe the medication, and a pharmacy sends it right to your door. It's affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To get your first order for just $5, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/doctor. That's forhims.com/doctor for your first month for just $5. forhims.com/doctor.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. See website for full detail.
We are the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. This is Business Rockstars, and we are continuing our conversation with the president of American Made Supply Co. And tell me a little bit about your background, because I know that you worked in the apparel industry for a while before you started this business. I'm sure that was a tremendous help.
Yeah, actually, it was a really big help. I actually started off in printing. So before I even got into manufacturing garments or anything like that, I started off in a small print shop that I started with another partner previously back in, it was like 2007 or six or something like that. It was a long time ago. We started off screen printing. So we had a small office in Silver Lake, and we were able to kind of work our way up through the industry. We got an opportunity with a brand that's pretty significant. They were in a pinch. We didn't have a ton of business, and we were pulling squeegees ourselves, and I convinced them to give us a shot, and I said, hey, we'll deliver. Just give us this opportunity.
Wow.
And they did, and they started using us for their smaller orders, and then it turned into giving us bigger orders. We ended up moving from Silver Lake to downtown LA into it was like a 6,000 square foot building, and then we started meeting other brands from there. And then we started working with manufacturing companies, because a lot of the times companies in LA, they'll use a manufacturer that kind of handles the full process of like making the garments, getting them printed, bringing them back, packaging them, and then going to like a distribution type business or DC. And so what had happened was is that we started working a lot with a couple manufacturers that were doing a lot of the top tier brands in LA. And I kind of got really kind of fascinated with how the shirts were being made and how the cottons were, where they were getting cotton. And so I ended up kind of becoming really good friends with one of the owners. And then he kind of started walking me through the process. And then I started offering that to some of our customers. And then it all kind of gelled from there.
Yeah, so cool. So if someone is wanting to break into this industry, what is the advice that you want to share that they just need to know?
I think it'd be good for a lot of people to kind of learn about certain areas. Like, I think it's really good for people if they want to like start a clothing brand, look at some of the printers in your area, or see what they're doing, or come to LA. There's so many resources available to people that I think a lot of people don't really realize that there's a lot of steps rather than just like stamping an image on a shirt or just knocking out a garment. I mean, there's a lot of steps to the actual process that I think people don't really get to see. So I think it's important that whether it's an internship or just get a job, even if it's
the different areas of the business.
Yeah, even if it's like a really low level position, or not so much low level, but something kind of simple, whether it's just folding
just
shirts.
Just to get you in there, yeah.
Just kind of learn more about what it actually goes into it versus just kind of starting real gung-ho. Because a lot of the times, a lot of companies have certain minimum qualifications. And so people will go out there really ambitious, and then they'll say, hey, you need to order 200 of this as a minimum. And a lot of times you need to be able to test a lot of different stuff. So if you kind of take the plunge and go too heavy on one design or five designs and you order 200 of each, odds are you're probably not going to sell 200 of anything just because no one knows who you are. Maybe certain designs aren't that strong, and a lot of people, for whatever reason, have different likes and tastes. And so you might sell 10 of something or five of something, or you might have that one breakout design. So it's always good, in my opinion, to really kind of find someone that's willing to help you or kind of sees your vision, or you pay more. Like, it's better to just pay more in the beginning rather than committing to such high volume of one specific style.
Because that's where a lot of companies get stuck, right? That they have this big inventory that they can't sell.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's why it's so hard to really be a brand and make it in this industry. There's brands that do it, and there's a lot of brands that don't.
And you kind of have found a way to get around that, where you can make the shirts very quickly.
Absolutely. I think it has a lot to do with just kind of how we handle everything with our fabric, to our cut and sew contractors, and even just to how we fulfill everything.
But don't have a big inventory at any time. You're more kind of make it on demand.
Not necessarily on demand, but we have kind of a process where we do hold inventory, but we're really kind of specific. We follow the numbers. So we really look at what we sell and what we don't sell. And then we try to stay consistent between our fabrications. So we're going to use what's called a 30 single combed cotton for our men's styles, at least on the tops. And then we'll use a 40 single for women. So it's a little sheer, a little lighter weight. But we're not going to say, let's use a 40 single. We try to keep it really consistent.
Keep it simple and consistent.
Exactly. And I think something like we've really learned from, and something not necessarily in our industry, but we really look at like In-N-Out as like this great foundation for a business, because they have the most simple menu, but they do it really well. And so that's kind of how we've modeled our business.
There are so many businesses that are modeled like that, where they're known for something very, very specific and sometimes simple, and they're known as the best for it, and it works.
Yeah, that's kind of how we look at it too. Is that we just want to have a decent menu, but do it the best.
Now, off camera, something we talked about is how it's been helpful for you to not get investment money too soon. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's, if you can, I think it's really good to kind of figure out where you do need to spend money. I think a lot of the times people take in money a little too early. They don't really understand how to spend their marketing dollars or how to kind of buy the items that they need, or even the people. So I think a lot of the times, if you're able to have the ability to kind of go slow, you still need to do the marketing, but you got to test a lot and you got to see what works and what doesn't work. And I think before you spend too much in any one area, you really need to identify those areas and kind of find out, hey, this works with the marketing. These products work the best. And you're not overspending, like you're not committing to too much of the V-neck or too much of a sweatshirt or too much of a certain color. You really need some time to figure out what types of people are actually buying your clothes, what types of people want certain products, don't want certain products, really building out like great email narratives, good storytelling, things like that. And I think a lot of the times, and even myself included, I could look back a year ago and say, I definitely overspent in a couple areas, and thank God no one gave me a few million dollars, because I would have really overspent in that area. Because I think sometimes you get so committed to an idea, especially as an entrepreneur, that you're just so passionate about it that you kind of have the blinders on in a way. And I think it's really important sometimes to just really kind of take a step back and look at the overall picture before you go, like,
objectively. Yeah.
If you can. I know a lot of people, and not every business you can really do that. Some businesses you really need investment money to get going. But if you have the ability to kind of take your time and really kind of do the research and trial and error and figure out where you need to spend the money, then you'll be prepared once you do get the investment to really kind of scale those areas that do work and spend less in the areas that don't, or identify new areas that work.
Great advice. Thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate
it. Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You bet. We are the biggest entrepreneur destination on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining us right now is Patrick Ambron. He's the CEO and co-founder of Brand Yourself. Tell us about your company again, brother. Recap for us.
So simply put, Brand Yourself helps people look better online. So that's dealing with dangerous items like poorly judged tweets or Facebook statuses or bad press, as well as helping them promote positive, relevant things.
Well, you just told us an awesome story about how you came through a season of adversity in your life when you were trying to get your business up off the ground. And we cut to a little break there, but we're back now, and you had something that you wanted to add on to it. Take it away, brother. What is that?
Yeah, the question that a lot of people ask is why were you able to get through that, and what made you stay motivated? And I realized, I think part of it too was having a background where I grew up. I grew up in a town called Fishkill, New York. Which is, I don't know.
Fishkill.
Kill is Dutch for creek.
Okay.
It's right around Poughkeepsie area. Big IBM town. And most of the town was employed by IBM. And, you know, in the 90s going in, everyone lost their jobs. And it was very difficult for most of the town. And I remember thinking, even when I was a kid, that, you know, I don't ever want to be in a position where, you know, I could work for someone for 20 years and then suddenly, you know, there's nothing I can do, and then you're at a point in your life where you're no longer in the driver's seat, and you get in this place where, like, what are your options? So I think part of it deep down too is knowing that I wanted to give myself a chance to never have to be in that position.
And I love that, because people think it's so crazy. People think that job security is real.
Right.
And I know in some cases it is. But for most of the people that have a job that don't take the risks of starting their business, don't take the risks of being an entrepreneur, they are doing it at some level, fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of whatever. Deep down inside, they think that their choice they're making now is actually the safer one.
It's crazy.
The more comfortable one. We just had one of my friends, Peter Vug, on the show literally yesterday, and he said something that was just like so perfect. I'm trying to remember what it was specifically. It was like basically something along the lines of like, safety is not real. It was like, being safe is risky.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember exactly. It was like, being safe is risky, though. It was like along the lines.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like, if you didn't have the experience that I had growing up, but I graduated in 2009, you know, right at that crash.
High school?
College.
Okay.
And if you believed in job security then, like that blew my mind, which was, yeah. I remember.
They're trying to be safe, buy real estate, get a job, and then
And if you don't have skills, if you haven't taught yourself or adding some sort of value, you could, you're disposable. And I think, you know, more and more people are realizing that. So, you know, it came down to how do I do my own thing where I'm in control? And, you know, the other thing that always shocked me is I was able to get through that adversity time, you know, which was basically just, I'm making no money. I feel like I'm going backwards. You know, I'm starting to feel stuck. But I did it at a time where, you know, I was fortunate. Some people have more even obligations than I did. But the older you get, the more those obligations, like I didn't have anyone to care about. I didn't have, I just cared about myself. If I went too much in the debt, I didn't have a wife,
kids,
mortgage, responsibilities. And I remember thinking that all the time I had to put in, all the sacrifices, you know, that you have to make, it's, I don't know, how would you do that at, you know, on one hand, you're saying you have more experience, so it wouldn't be as difficult, but I can't imagine that.
But it's like, it's not real experience.
Right.
In my humble opinion, how could it be real experience if you've actually never built a business?
Right.
I know people, I worked at a company for 20, no, that's okay, that doesn't count.
Right.
You've never paid the money for the salaries of other employees. Mm-hmm. You just complained about that yours wasn't big enough.
Right.
Imagine paying other people's salaries. You haven't spent
Those decisions.
Yeah, oh, I was a marketer. Great. Well, you never spent the money on the marketing campaigns,
made those
did
decisions
you?
And...
Yeah.
I can't imagine, I mean, I guess to your point, it's going to be a learning curve. Regardless, a difficult pain, unless you get so lucky, starting a business and that's what you want to do.
If somehow, the product, the demand, the timing, crucial.
And those are the stories sometimes you hear that give a false sense of what it's going to be like.
The Instagrams.
Yeah.
$1 billion in 18 months.
Right.
Come on.
But they're so rare. I mean, that's why they make news, right? They're exceptional.
Yeah.
So there's going to...
hear about all the failures.
Right. And but there's going to be, even the successes, there's going to be a very difficult, painful learning curve. Now, maybe... A few extra years of experience, you know, change that curve a bit, but not much.
Not much.
Which means if you're going to go through that curve, it's kind of better to just pull the plug earlier, I feel like, because you've got less to lose. And that's kind of something, and again, I've never been on the other side of that, but I feel like a lot of people say, I'm going to wait, I'm going to do this, I'm going to wait till I have X years of experience and I'll be ready. And it's kind of, I don't know, if you want to do it, just do it now, because the longer you wait, the more painful that learning curve is going to be, unless you get really, really lucky.
And I 100% agree with that. CEO and co-founder of Brand Yourself, Patrick Ambron's in the house. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. How do you stay passionate, brother? You're bringing a lot of fire to the house right now. How are you staying so passionate? What keeps you motivated and excited?
I'd like to say every day, but it's not always the case, but at least every week, I really do have a realization of how lucky I am to be in the position I'm in. Like, I look back at my parents and, like, my relatives, and I'm saying, I'm a relatively young man.
Yeah.
I'm in the driver's seat. You know, we're certainly not as successful as I want us to be, but the fact that I get to go in and make really difficult decisions, build a team around me, it's really, really stressful. But there's at least once a week, and I try to make it every day, but a real genuine feeling that just I am so lucky to be in this position where, you know, I get to engage myself creatively. I get to, lead a team and build people, the type of people I want around me. There's so many people you talk to outside of the entrepreneurship world who, their biggest complaints are, you know, they don't have a say, or they feel like they're not learning anything, or, you spend all your life in work and you don't have a say with who you work with. Or
you spent 20 years building someone else's asset to find out you're left with nothing.
Yeah, and you don't even, and a lot of them, you know, as you get older, you feel like I'm not, you know, it's very rarely, you know, the biggest complaints aside from the essentials is if I had just made more money, I'd be happy. What you really hear is like, I just feel like no one listens to my ideas, or that just the people I work with are idiots. How many times do you hear that?
Or they hate their boss.
I hate my boss, or there's so much office drama, and I get to be in control. Like, the fact that that all starts and ends with me, I feel so lucky about it, and all the things that allowed me to do this, that it's really easy to
get distracted,
to get passionate about it again when you realize, like, I'm in such, such a position that so few people get to be in that. It's easy then to replace the feeling sorry for yourself or getting stressed out with motivation and passion.
I find when we play the comparison game, it expires us or inspires us. But a lot of the times, you know, we do get too focused on our career, too focused on our life, too focused on some of the external factors and circumstances and environments that we're in currently to pull our head up and be like, wow, in the last 3 years, 5 years, and 10 years, I've come so far.
Yeah.
And 3 years, 5 years, and 10 years ago, I'd beg for the problems.
Yeah.
I'd beg for the situation that I have now. And it helps to remind ourselves. For me now, I was going to put like a number factor on it, but I'll be like mad some months when I won't hit a certain goal.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be like, oh man, you know, I was so close to getting to X number in personal income. And then I'm like, I'm really feeling bad about that right now. And then I'm like, 3 years ago, I would love to have made that in a year.
Yeah.
And now I'm mad. And so it's just crazy how, like Albert Einstein says, law of relativity, just depending on how you look at the same thing is going to determine how you feel about it.
There's two interesting things in there, what you just said. Number one, the importance of goals, because you can't just feel, I'm so lucky. You need them balance that with hitting goals. Like setting goals is so important because it's what drives you forward. But like you said, it's all relative. So I really do believe in the whatever the saying, the adage where you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with, which I heard that and said it's absolutely true that if you surround yourself with the people you want to be in 5 years, suddenly the things that would make you lethargic, like, wow, I'm making good money in a year, whether it's money or position or
health or anything,
whatever it is, it's really important that you put yourself in a situation where you're kind of hitting above your weight class, because that's going to motivate you too. It's going to, you know, because the downside of not doing that is a false sense of I'm doing just fine.
Let's shift gears real quick. Talk about sales and marketing. How are you guys actually going out? How are you generating clients?
So to date, so we've grown a lot. We've doubled every year since we had since we started generating revenue.
Yeah.
And that's actually been inbound. So the good thing for us is we've developed a really good reputation in the space. So this can happen to anybody, right? There's three main reasons. First, anyone can say anything about anyone on the web without many repercussions, no matter how true it is.
Yeah.
So we deal, it's like a lot of times it's you get trashed by an ex or an employee you had to fire or someone you competed with, right? And the other one is everything that we do online, everything we post on Facebook to everything that
don't say
we browse.
Don't say it lives forever.
It doesn't go away. And it can come back to bite you.
Yeah.
And more people are realizing that. And once it happens to you, it has such a direct effect on your livelihood that you're looking for solutions. And we've really, we've grown through word of mouth. And the fact that when that happens to you, you're looking for help and you'll find our company. And we provide, again, all these tools and things you can use for free. And it brings people to us. That said, we've been building more ubiquitous tools, we think, that are not just helping you fix problems, but helping you prevent problems and monitor for problems and be proactive. Which means that to grow that, we're going to need to be proactive. So what we're doing there is we're actually exploring that now. Who are the best people to partner with?
Sum it up for us in a nutshell, short and sweet as we wrap up.
We're looking for partnerships with basically job seekers, which could be colleges for college seniors or job boards for job seekers.
Okay, so somebody says, I love this guy. He's inspirational. His story, he's already inspired me. And I love what his company's up to. Where can they learn more about you or follow you?
They can go to brandyourself.com to learn about the company, or they can follow me at Patrick Ambrod.
There you go. Thanks for coming on the show, brother.
Thank you very much for having me.
Appreciate you. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
And now, a Business Rockstars Minute. How can you make better decisions as an entrepreneur? I'm Pat O'Brien with a Business Rockstars Minute. While procrastination is one thing, pining over one option or another can oftentimes be a huge waste of time. To assist you in making more calculated, thought-out decisions, here are a few things you can start doing now. One, stop worrying. Stop worrying about being perfect all the time. Taking a leap without all the answers is okay sometimes. Two, being independent is a huge part of decision-making. Surround yourself with the best and the brightest, get the information, and act efficiently. Three, don't problem solve, just decide. Sometimes intuition needs to play a role in the decision-making process, just not analytics. If your intuition steers you wrong, admit the mistake and you'll see how your team will have even more respect for you. It lets them know you're human. I'm Pat O'Brien and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. Right now, get your first month supply for free. All you pay is just $5 for your medical consultation when you go to forhims.com/doctor. After that, it's just $30 for a month's supply. Sure beats paying big bucks for just one blue pill, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need an awkward in-person doctor's appointment to get the prescription. Hims has doctors online who can prescribe the medication, and a pharmacy sends it right to your door. It's affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To get your first order for just $5, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/doctor. That's forhims.com/doctor for your first month for just $5. forhims.com/doctor.
Prescription products require an online physician consult.
This is Business Rockstar.
How do you build your network to grow your net worth? Joining us to elaborate on that is Harmony Krieger. She's the founder of Pop Your Shop. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Harmony, how do we effectively network? What's the keys?
Network is my
favorite
topic in life, besides passion. You have to be passionate
to build
your network. That is all encompassing. So it is my favorite topic because I think that business grows because of who you connect with. Mm. So I am the master at networking. I know exactly
so this is perfect
what to
for
do.
You, then.
I really do. It's my favorite topic. I tell everybody that I come across brand-wise, have to network. You have to find out who that customer is. You have to connect, and you will get that customer, and then you will get 500 more because of that. Yeah. So if I'm going to an event, I'm going to find out who is running the event. I'm going to find out who is at the event and what they do. And I do it in a very organic way. It's not a sales pitch. The worst mistake you can make when you network is to sound like a salesman. Nobody wants to talk to a car salesman, right? Yeah. Unless you're going to buy a car.
People hate to be sold, they love to buy. So there's an elegance.
I love it. There's such an elegance. And there is one word that defines that elegance, which is organic.
Organic.
Be organic. Be yourself. I love talking to people. I love finding out what they're doing. Mm. It inspires me to do better. So when I go to an event, I find out, who's going to be at that event. I walk in. I make my way across the room. It's kind of like finding a boyfriend, which right now I probably need one. you find out what they do. You start the conversation. You say, oh, wow. You find a commonality. Mm. What is that commonality? It can be completely different sectors, but you always relate it back to something that you have in common.
Because that's the first step for networking 101, right?
100%.
Build rapport. And the fastest way to do that is to find a commonality.
Build that rapport. What is that commonality? It's like a first date.
Yeah.
You're not having a good time, but what can you talk about? It's like you find that one thing that is your sweet spot, as I like to say. So what is your sweet spot? So, maybe it is somebody starting a brand new beauty line and, I love watching makeup tutorials on YouTube. What is this new line that's coming out? When is it coming out? And then guess what? They might need a pop-up shot for it. And this is how you network.
Okay.
It's funny, I carry cards, but at the end of the day, I think I store all the information in my head. Get somebody's card, get somebody's information, whether you put it in your phone.
Yeah, just take a picture of it nowadays, right?
Picture of it nowadays, exactly. Or even, email yourself. What does that person do? Because I guarantee you, when you get home from an event like that, you will have 10 to 20 names that you can reach out to. And this is how it starts to grow. Every event I've ever went to, I have to say, I think I've gotten a piece of business out of. Because somebody is just, oh, wow, that's what you do.
You're hustling on it. That's what
you're doing. You're hustling. But you know what? It's so organic because guess what? You're passionate about your business. They ask me what I do. I say, I build pop-up shops. What's your brand? And they said, oh, wow, I was thinking about doing a pop-up. I don't know how to do it. Or I don't know if I have the budget. And I say, you know what, let's just go out for a drink or let's have a coffee. Let's connect and throw around some ideas. That's the other key. I always ask them to go and meet in person. I never just send them information. They see information all day long, decks, whatever it may be. Always ask them for an in-person meeting. If they say no, that's fine, but you have asked. So you've asked for the connection.
So the first key is finding a commonality is what I've heard from you. So building the connection and building the rapport first comes down to your ability to ask questions and align with the person to build a connection and to build a rapport
exactly.
So you can find that commonality. We're joined by the founder of Pop Your Shop, Harmony Krieger. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars, and we're talking about networking right now. I love that. The first step in the networking process is building rapport and finding a commonality because yes. people buy from their friends.
Absolutely.
And so the first key is to figure out how you can actually become a friend with the person.
Yes.
I think that I try to make a distinction for people when it comes to networking.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've been taught that networking is go out and meet people that you can effectively get something from.
Right.
But I look at it in a different way. I think that you look at relationships as bank accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And if you went up to a bank account you've never made a deposit in and asked for a withdrawal, they would look at you crazy and security would come and kick you out.
I love that.
And so look at relationships as bank accounts. If you've never added value,
mm-hmm.
you've never made a deposit, then you can't take something from somebody.
Absolutely.
And so when you're networking, flip it.
Flip it.
Look at the people that are the most intelligent mm-hmm. investment of your time, your energy, your money. So I look at somebody at a networking event and I'm only looking for one or two or three people maximum.
Right.
I throw all the other business cards away. I'm finding the one or two or three people at an event. Everyone else, I'm asking if they've met the person that's the one or two or three that I'm looking for.
Right.
So everyone else is not there for anything else than to help me find my one or two or three people at the event I'm looking for.
I love that.
I find those one or two or three people and then I figure out what I can do to serve them.
Absolutely.
What can I do to make a connection for them? How can I add the most value to them and make a deposit so that later I know strategically this individual in 6 months or 12 months or 2 years or 3 years is someone I can take a deposit from.
Exactly. And so that is how you grow your network.
That's how you do it, right?
I mean, every entrepreneur will say that. Your network yeah. is your net worth. I mean, think about
yeah.
it. If you're selling a home, same thing. You're tapping into resources that are actually already there. So
yeah.
every friend of mine asks, where do you go get your hair done? You know, where do you get your eyelashes done? Okay, now I just told you, like, I do all these beauty things. But regardless, they're asking for my
yeah.
advice because I feel that I'm really going to give them the best answer possible,
yeah.
and I'm referring them to someone that I trust. It's all about that trusting relationship.
Yeah.
So in business, when you are going to these networking events, yeah, I'm not going to talk to 75 people. It's not a speed dating event.
People make that mistake.
They'll just speed date, and you know what
yeah.
I've seen? Another huge mistake. Someone will just go around to every single person.
Just get their cards.
And get their cards and say the same exact thing. So what do you do? Oh, great. Take their card. Okay, great. I would love to call you tomorrow.
Yeah.
No one's going to call you tomorrow. You know, you really do need to connect with the ones that make sense. But the only way to do that is to really weed them out. And you're not going to probably do that till you go home. Look
yeah.
up. LinkedIn is one of the best tools that there is in the sense of, are they valid?
It's like your vetting process,
right? Are they
right?
telling you what they're really doing? Because guess what? A lot of people will say they're doing something and not really be doing it.
That's true.
So you really need to find those people to align with. It's so important. Like you just said, you're going to find those three people.
Yeah, that's the perfect way to end it. Harmony, always a pleasure. You're amazing.
Thank you so much.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.